The free agent frenzy is here, and we're going to talk about it on our Eagles Live podcast, Episode 8. Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Spadaro. We welcome you inside the walls of the NovaCare Complex. A very busy start and a frenzied start for the Eagles to begin this 2016 free agency period. We will recap everything the Eagles have done to date, let you hear from those making the decisions, and we'll get the perspective from NFL reporter Albert Breer, who was at the NovaCare Complex on Wednesday when free agency began, and had an immediate reaction to what the Eagles were doing. So what were the Eagles doing? Well, in a very short period of time, they traded two players. They created some room within the salary cap. They added to their draft position for April, and they brought in some talent to beef up this 2016 roster. Let's get you caught up with everything going on here. We first look at the trades the Eagles made. First, dealing cornerback Byron Maxwell and linebacker Kiko Alonso to the Miami Dolphins. The Eagles also trading the 13th pick in the 2016 NFL draft. In return, the Eagles acquiring from Miami the 8th pick on April 28th. So that means the Eagles will draft within the top 10 potentially when the draft begins in about a month and a half. The deal cleared substantial salary cap space for the Eagles, which they were able to then use to sign some players. Maxwell signed with the Eagles during the 2015 free agency period. Alonso, of course, was acquired when the Eagles made the trade to deal LeSean McCoy to the Buffalo Bills. That was trade number one. Trade number two came a short time later when the Eagles announced that running back DeMarco Murray, the prized free agent acquisition in 2015, was traded to the Tennessee Titans, along with a fourth-round draft pick. The Eagles, in exchange, receiving from the Titans the second overall pick in the fourth round of April's draft. So the Eagles improving their draft positioning again, shedding some salary cap salary, and relieving themselves of a burdensome contract. The reaction from the Eagles, we go to Howie Roseman.
You know, the great thing about the combine is you get an opportunity to talk to every team in the league and see your friends in the league, see the people that you can talk trades with. You're all in the same place. It's almost like our own version of the GM meetings because it's right before the free agency period and the trade period. And we talked to a bunch of teams about a bunch of different things. And one of our goals was trying to see if we can move up in the draft. We found a way to do that by giving them value. And it was something that came together over a period of a couple of weeks and a bunch of phone calls. But we're excited about getting the opportunity to pick eight.
The Eagles then turned their attention to adding to the roster. They signed guard Brandon Brooks to a five-year contract, safety Rodney McLeod to a five-year contract, cornerback Ron Brooks to a three-year deal, and the Eagles were not done. They also added quarterback Chase Daniel and linebacker Nigel Bradham a two-year contract to join the Eagles. Along with Leotis McKelvin, the Eagles have added six players to the roster. And Peterson talks about what it means and how this roster is shaping up for 2016.
First of all, I just want to talk about free agency, what we've done here in the last couple of days. First of all, I got to thank Jeffrey Lurie for obviously giving us the resources and the ability to do what we do. Howie Roseman for the job he did with selecting and gathering the information on these players that we brought in. We're so excited. We added six great players to our roster, guys that are going to help us, guys that are going to help us win a championship and help us moving forward. Leotis McKelvin, a cornerback, really excited about having him here. Rodney McLeod, great player, safety, opportunity to shore up that secondary here. And Ron Brooks, another secondary cornerback position that really gives us some nice depth there in the secondary. So really looking forward to working with these guys. Nigel Bradham, a linebacker. Again, a guy that has some athletic ability, some special teams value, a good athlete at linebacker. Really looking forward to having him, a great addition to our roster. And then offensively, Chase Daniel, quarterback, coming in as a number two. And then Brandon Brooks, who will get in here. Big offensive lineman out of Houston with the Texans. Big offensive lineman that is going to give us some great depth, some great exposure there in the offensive line, and really give us some depth. So with that,
how real is the quarterback competition? Peterson talks about it as he's added Sam Bradford and Chase Daniel to the mix in the last couple of weeks.
Right now, going forward, Sam Bradford is the number one. Chase Daniel is the number two, and then we're working on the number three. So I just want to put that out there right now, going forward. And we feel like, and I feel like, as head football coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, that we've really given ourselves a great opportunity at that position. You know, it just goes without saying, being a former quarterback, being a backup, you know, in this league, having two guys You know, we're always going out. We're always going to get the best players at every position. You see what we did right here in free agency these last couple of days. We went out and we found the best players. We signed our current guys, and then we went out and found guys that can be solid starters and or backups on this roster. Excited about that. Looking forward to the opportunity of working with these guys.
Now let's hear from the players. First, safety Rodney McLeod, thrilled to be an Eagle and to work in Jim Schwartz's defense.
Very excited, man. Obviously I haven't played for him before, but heard a lot about him. I know he comes from the same family as Jeff Fisher and Greg Williams. And, you know, just from what I hear, man, he's just a guy that is, going to get the most out of his players. He's here to win. I'm here to win. So I think it's going to be a good combination, man. And just talking to him, I could just tell that he's excited. He's hungry to get things going.
On the offensive side of the ball, Daniel played for Peterson, the offensive coordinator in Kansas City for 3 seasons, and now looks at Philadelphia as an opportunity to compete with quarterback Sam Bradford and earn some real playing time. Daniel has thrown just 77 passes in the regular season in his 7 years in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm super excited, you know, not only to compete, but to get up here, you know, the storied franchise of the Philadelphia Eagles. And we're looking forward to getting started. I wish we were starting tomorrow, but unfortunately we can't start till April 4th. But yeah, we're just pumped, man. And the whole family, we're excited to come up here, excited to compete, and excited to play a little football.
A day earlier, the Eagles added cornerback McKelvin, a former first-round pick in Buffalo in 2008. McKelvin is very aware of what it takes to excel in a Jim Schwartz defense. Leotis, what's your mentality joining a new team and this Eagles defense?
My mentality is, you know, just coming in and just using my gift and my talent and just come in and play as a true teammate and get some wins for the Philadelphia Eagles.
You played with Jim Schwartz in 2014, 4 interceptions, 10 games. The defense had great success. What was that experience like?
It was unreal. You know, it's an experience that I'm looking forward in having this year. Looking forward in defense coming alive and just looking forward to just playing with these guys.
What makes him so successful?
I mean, he's a great coach. You know, he gonna put us in the right positions. He's gonna make sure we have all the checks and things that we need. We gonna come out and get some more wins.
Every week you play in the NFL, great receiver on the other side of the line of scrimmage. In the NFC East, it's Dez Bryant and Odell Beckham Jr. and DeSean Jackson. What kind of challenge is that? I know you're looking forward to that kind of thing.
It's a big, huge challenge. You know, those guys are what you call superstars in this league, as far as like receivers. You just gotta go out there, and compete to the best, and that's what you have to do, to go out there and compete.
What can Eagles fans expect to see from you on the field? What kind of player are you?
You know, very passionate, very passionate with the game, and just gonna go out there and just be a hard fault player and fight every day, every play.
Leotis, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Is it possible that McKelvin will earn a starting spot at the cornerback position? Well, the Eagles will give him every chance, and Schwartz speaks highly of McKelvin, who had a terrific season in 2014, recording 4 interceptions in 10 games before suffering a broken ankle. Jim, Leotis played with you in 2014. What can you tell us about him?
Well, you know, he's had a long history as a player, was drafted in the first round. And other than some injuries, has always played at a really high level. He can play inside, he can play outside, was a good tackler, had great ball instincts, was a good all-around player and has been that way for a long time.
And he had, I think, 4 interceptions in 10 games, so is it kind of a natural thing that he's around the football a lot?
It's something he's really worked early in his career. He had trouble locating the ball down the field. It was one of the holes in his game. But, you know, like a true pro, over time, he got better at that. He worked real hard at it, and it became a strength. The year I was with him in Buffalo, he had a couple outstanding interceptions where, you know, even though he's only a little bit above 5'10", he out-jumped guys that were much taller than him, went up and played the ball in the air. Was on his way to an outstanding year in Buffalo that year before he got hurt.
You've talked about this, that you don't want to pigeonhole a player, and you said that he's been able to play throughout every coverage that you want, inside, outside, etc. What kind of skills does he show you that allows him to do that?
Well, the biggest thing is, and it all comes down to defensive backs, is ability to cover man-to-man. You know, and he can do that. You can add other things in there. You can add different coverages, zones, and things like that. But, you know, when it all comes down to it, when you're a defensive back or corner in particular, you got to be able to lock a player down. And he has the confidence to do that. It's not just a skill set when it comes to getting guys covered. There's a mentality that goes along with that. You can't be afraid of the spotlight that's on the outside part of the field. It's a difficult assignment. You're not going to win every time, but you can't lose confidence if you allow a completion, and leave. Otis doesn't. He battles, he competes, and you know, I think that shows in his play.
And how is he as a tackler?
You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he is aggressive and he does throw his body around. You know, and I think those are the biggest things. He probably tackles bigger than his size, and you know, I think that's he's been effective at getting guys on the ground, and I think that's bottom line.
The NFL Network's Albert Breer was on hand on Wednesday as free agency opened, and he was impressed with what the Eagles did. Our press coverage with the NFL Network's Albert Breer. Albert Breer, let's talk about what the Eagles have done, and let's break it down move by move. First, the trade that sends Byron Maxwell, Kiko Alonso, and the 13th pick to Miami, Eagles getting the 8th pick back in round 1 on April 28th. Your read?
Yeah, well, I mean, it sure does stick out that they undo a lot of the things that they did last year at this time, you know, and being able to get something for DeMarco, you know, trading him to Tennessee earlier in the week, and after a little bit of a hiccup there, finding a way to get out from underneath Byron Maxwell's contract, and you know, they give up a good young linebacker in Kiko Alonso, but I think that's part of the price of doing business here. And they move up 5 spots in the draft, so now they're in the top 10. So, you know, I think all the way around, I think they knew it was going to be difficult to find a way to shed some of the mistakes that they made last year. Pretty impressive that they were able to get that done, and that of course created some space for them to do the things they did today.
Surprised at all that there was a market for Maxwell and for Murray, given their contracts, given some of the mileage they have on their bodies?
Yeah, you know, although I think that when you look at the two teams out there, you always think about how this is a needs-based market, free agency, you know, and that's what it's always driven by. And, you know, the Dolphins had big needs at linebacker and at corner. And knowing they were going to get rid of Brent Grimes, there was a big need at corner. And you look at what's out there in the market and you think, okay, do I overspend? And we're looking at what Janoris Jenkins got, over $12 million a year. You can kind of understand why maybe they went for some cost certainty there, and they get the linebacker on the cheap, so they kind of make up some of it there, you know. And then with DeMarco, of course, you know, the Titans had to spend money. I mean, they're one of those teams that was kind of having to play catch up as far as getting, you know, up to the salary floor. And I know one of the things that's been a priority down there in Tennessee is finding a way to better protect Marcus Mariota, who got hurt twice last year. So having a run game, of course, is a good way to do that. So I think they did a good job of identifying teams where you know, those needs would be, and where those players would be wanted. And, you know, I think you throw Kiko in. I don't think that they necessarily wanted to rid themselves of Kiko. So I think Kiko's kind of a sweetener to the deal for them to take on Maxwell's contract. But it does work out when you look at the long-term effect. The fact that they're able to bring in Chase Daniel, Brandon Brooks, and Rodney McLeod, you know, and also leave some room for the big contract of the offseason, which I think we all expect is going to be Fletcher Cox.
Brandon Brooks addresses an immediate need, interior offensive lineman, 335 pounds. What kind of player is he?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that's interesting about it is, you know, down there in Houston, they ask a lot of their offensive players. That system is complex. It forces you to adjust on the fly. And so, you know, I think that you get a player there who's bigger, who's been part of a really good running game over the years, played in a couple different systems now, and who checks off the box as far as intelligence goes. So when he comes into a new system, it's not going to be overwhelming for him. And so I can see what they liked in Brandon Brooks. The guard market certainly a little pricier than it has been in the past. You know, but you look at a lot of these deals, and it's almost like across the league now is the cost of doing business everywhere at almost every position. If you're going to go and get a guy in the free agent market, you're going to have to do something that looks like, on the surface, overpaying.
How do you see the Eagles at quarterback with Sam Bradford, the 2-year deal, now Chase Daniel here, Mark Sanchez still on the roster?
Yeah, I think you still keep throwing darts at the board. You know, there aren't very many teams that have, you know, a definitive answer at quarterback where you can say, you know what, like for the foreseeable future, they're set. A lot of those teams wound up getting those players with the top 10 pick in the draft, you know, and if you don't think you're going to be there, or you don't want to go there, one of the ways to do it is just kind of keep throwing darts at that dartboard. And I always look at what Seattle did and how they found Russell Wilson as the example of it, you know. And yes, they found Russell Wilson in the third round in 2012, but look what Pete Carroll and John Schneider did to get there. You know, they brought back Matt Hasselbeck for a year. They brought back Tavares Jackson twice, I believe. They traded for Charlie Whitehurst. They signed Matt Flynn. They drafted a kid out of Rutgers. I mean, they took 5-6 shots at it before they wound up, you know, finding Russell Wilson. And so, you know, I think if you don't have a top 5 pick in the right year to have a top 5 pick, that can be a way to solve the problem. And that's kind of the sense I get what they're doing here, is just keep throwing darts at that dartboard, you know, and eventually you find the right guy. And if your problem is that you have too many quarterbacks in your roster, I think that's something you can deal with.
Last one, Albert. How valuable is going from 13 in round 1 to 8 in round 1 on April 28th?
You know, I'm not sure it matters as much as this year as it would some other years. I know the way this draft class is viewed across the league, which is that there's more depth than there is just super blue chip talent at the top, you know. And so I don't know that there's this precipitous difference between 8 and 13 this year, but it definitely gives you another chip, you know. And you're in a position now where if you want to get a quarterback, you're positioned to do that. You know, I think if you look at the teams in front of them now, the only two teams that I think are in dire need of a quarterback, and I'm talking about really need one, that stick out to you are Cleveland and San Francisco. So now you're in that kind of position where you either could get a quarterback or you could trade with somebody who wants one. So that'd be the advantage of it. But I don't think that there's an enormous talent difference this year between the 8 and 13 spot, which is probably part of the reason why Miami was willing to do it.
Thanks, Hubbard.
You got it.
So the action is fast and furious. Free agency continues with an eye on the April 28th NFL draft. The Eagles stand with 9 draft selections, including the 8th pick overall in round number 1. We thank you for joining us on the Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 8. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks to Brian Thomas for putting this all together, and thanks to you, Eagles fans, for being the most passionate, most devoted, and most energetic fans in the National Football League. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day, everyone.